I don't know anything. Oh, we're on. Welcome to Open Source Guelph.
On the record,
you're on,
dude.
CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and joining me is...
Scotty Hertz, London School of Journalism's newest student. So if I start speaking like this one day, you'll know why. So, yeah, yeah. I've gone legit after 20 years, so more about that later. Adam's surprised. I dropped that on him right there. It's like, happy birthday, dude. No.
Okay.
All right.
Good to know. Open Source is a CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show, and you can find us here every Thursday at 5 p.m. as we talk about the latest news items from Guelph, Ontario, Canada, and around the world, and sometimes interview local newsmakers and politicians, like today. We're going to be starting our 2019 federal election coverage. Well, we've kind of already started that, but the local coverage anyway. Here in Guelph, we're going to do that this week with interviewing two candidates. After the break, we'll talk to Gordon Truscott of the Christian Heritage Party. But first, we are pleased to welcome back in studio Juanita Burnett of the Communist Party of Canada. Hello, Juanita.
Hello, comrades.
Hello. Oh, I like that.
We don't get that often.
No, we don't get that often. No, it's
we'll take it.
It's
man.
Nice. Yeah, we'll take it. So this is your third time on the show, or second time on this show, but third time as a candidate.
Yes.
First time as a federal candidate.
Yes.
How's it going so far?
It's going.
Go on.
It's been strange, I feel, because the writ just barely dropped, but everybody was well ahead of doing things. And now it's sort of catching up to where we would have been behind, but we aren't, but we're not quite in the right place.
It is weird because we continuously feel like we're in election mode as well. It's at least a year now and we're already talking about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of the nature of the beast, though. It's unfortunately, you know, I think that's part of working backwards from a fixed election day. I mean, not that it was better the other way, but, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, so Juanita, third time's the charm. Why did you want to run this time? What, and also your first federal campaign. So what's driving you to run again? And what makes maybe running for the federal seat a bit different than your provincial efforts?
So part of the reason I got actually excited federally is we have a lot of the same things we're fighting for. So better jobs, better work-life balance, all those things. But we're also looking at a new deal for all of the people that make up the country that we live in. And that's including some sort of a new agreement with all of the peoples in this country. So talking to all the Indigenous peoples, talking to Quebec. And we've been talking about it in the party as a better marriage. So we're not separatists, but we're not federalists. But we need to have some sort of a marriage, if you will, that's equal and voluntary and recognizes everybody.
That roommates maybe is a better analogy.
Maybe it is. Would be a really big marriage. But
like, you know, maybe we don't lose it if, you know, the Indigenous communities, you know, eat all the peanut butter, let's say. Or maybe we don't. Maybe we
but those
we,
dirty dishes.
Maybe we're okay if, you know, Quebec uses our Netflix account, right? Maybe we're reading too much into that.
Maybe.
The metaphors could go all hour, yes.
The metaphors could go all day.
That was a bad place to start.
We can tell you're all used to each other. We're all campaign veterans at this point. But I do want to start with this. What does being a communist mean to you? Like, when, you know, going around shaking hands and saying, hi, I'm Juanita, the communist candidate. I mean, that obviously, because of, you know, the Cold War and everything, that's some sets a lot of people on a back nine. But, you know, what does being a communist mean to you?
It means trying to find a way, A, to get rid of capitalism, B, to make this country, this town, this world better for more people. And I don't think capitalism is going to do it. And I think using the name communist makes that as clear as we can.
Mm.
When you're out and about, does anybody ever give you any real grief about it? Like, you would think of any of the parties, if somebody goes to the door and you're going to get, say, somebody challenge you directly in that way that people do because they have something visceral reaction to the word communist, or the fact that you're a communist. Has that happened? I mean, it is Guelph, right? Guelph, you know, we have a reputation of
home base.
Yeah, exactly. But has that happened at all?
It has.
But they're not chasing you down the street.
I haven't been chased down the street.
Right.
It's a Guelph kind of attack. It's often.
I totally know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. People will listen to the things I say and look at all the things on the platform and say, oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. We want full employment. We want a smaller work week without loss in pay. We want all the good stuff that you can find on votecommunist.com.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
But when they always want to know, and they want to want me to change the name
to anything but
and I'm not I actually recently watched a video that talked about how the attack on communism is a little strange because there's never been actual total real communism anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking more about being a communist along those lines, that I keep working towards a real ideal.
Mm.
I don't know if when we'll get there, but it's easier to keep fighting. We also talk about how you hear that communists are pessimists, and I think you have to be an optimist on some level to be a communist, or why bother?
People just think that because of Trotsky, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be.
I do want to talk a bit about the platform. One of the things I did note that really stuck out to me was put all the polluters in jail. Can we put all the polluters in jail? Because I think that walks up dangerously close to the line of communism that makes people uncomfortable.
It would be a better use of jails, maybe. If we took all the people that are in there because of, possession or...
Oh, sorry, cannabis possession.
Yeah, all those things that really don't need to be jailed for, maybe. I don't know.
Things you wouldn't get jailed for now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
One of the things, the communist plan about the environment is very, very ambitious. And one of the things that I saw on the website is about, going beyond the carbon tax, stopping the fight about the carbon tax. And the thing that strikes me is that that's the fight, right? That, Justin Trudeau, despite his many, even recently revealed faults...
Everybody's eyes rolled there, by the way.
Is, introduce this thing, which is, many environmentalists say doesn't go far enough. It's based on even, Harper era standards of where we're going to cut greenhouse gases. But even this little middling step that a lot of people who know better say is not enough has racked up hundreds of hours of court time and millions of dollars in court costs. And I'm wondering, how can we get over the fight when it seems like a couple of political parties in this country are in business to have the fight? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a corporate fight.
Mm.
One of the things it's hard to talk about individual parts of our program because they all work together.
Mm.
I was just going to do something I learned this morning at the Breezy Breakfast. I was going to go into the things I wanted to say.
Hey, feel free.
Go for it. Go for it.
Well, basically, so this time we have three main priorities.
Yeah.
So the first is jobs, wages, and living standards. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the usual things that I've been fighting for as a communist, and a lot of us work together to try to get anyway, mm-hmm. whether they're actually part of the party or some other parties actually try to work towards better living standards.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was peace and disarmament,
mm-hmm.
which somebody made a comment when we were talking over the platform that war, the danger of war is increasing,
mm-hmm.
but it's even less likely to be talked about this election.
For sure.
Yeah,
foreign affairs seem to have no bearing at all in this election.
Yeah.
This one's shaping up to be quite different than the others in the first seven days we're in?
Yeah.
8 days?
Day nine we're in now.
It's going to be the year of the distraction, I think.
I think that's a good description. Although I should note we're currently distracting our candidate guest.
Yes.
And the third thing.
I apologize.
is climate change and climate injustice. And another reason I'm proudly a communist is that was not always on our radar. Mm-hmm. And we've been working hard to get better around that.
Right.
One of the things that really caught my attention about climate, the problems with the climate, is how much of a force the military is.
Mm.
So talking about peace and disarmament is also a way to attack climate change.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, having said that, one of the few institutions in the United States that takes climate change seriously is the Pentagon. I mean, they're the ones who are drawing up plans like, we're going to be facing issues with refugees, with, you know, people coming after resources. You know, they're planning for the, you know, the climate crisis now and in the future. So,
but they're the number one consumer of fuel in the world, right?
No, I know, but I mean, that's why they know. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, wait, are you serious?
No, they do. The Pentagon's come up with a lot of plans about you know, what happens when the climate emergency comes home. It's been reported on. It's anyway, moving on. I wanted to get your perspective on this one because I imagine there's a lot of things that can be said from the communist perspective on SNC-Lavalin and what that controversy told us about the way capitalism works in Canadian, the Canadian government system.
Well, apparently it works.
Yeah.
One of the points that I think is important to remember is that the conservatives are not necessarily going to would probably not have done something different, really.
Right. Mm.
It's a good thing to attack the liberals about.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, they probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah. What is it, you know, like the corruption itself, though? And I think that's something we talked a lot, not necessarily us on the show, but in the media, it was mostly about the horse race and how this affects people. But to get to the heart of what happened, it really is seem like there's like two standards. There's the rules for people and there's rules for corporations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why we're changing it so it's not just working for the people, but also people in nature. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm saying a lot. Anyway.
Quite all right.
Yeah.
So as it was in the past with the Communist Party and communists around the world, nationalization of industry and the like has always been top. Would you see that as kind of a solution for something like SNC-Lavalin, sort of just remove it from the corporate sphere and say, let's make this publicly owned, then from that philosophy, the people can run it essentially, and there you go. Scandal-free. Well, presumably. Is there a truth to that?
That's exactly it. And I think I wrote notes, but I can't see them very well, and I won't find them anyway. Definitely. We also want to work towards making stronger regulations against companies that are here pulling their business out.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that all the workers actually get their pensions or benefits before you know, the big company gets profits when they take off.
Right. So Stelco, Sears,
yeah,
you name it.
Yeah, all the things.
GM.
GM.
Because mm-hmm.
that's one of the things in the platform is that yes. to nationalize GM and get them to build electric vehicles, affordable electric vehicles and mass transit.
Yes. Yes. It's brilliant. I didn't come up with it, but it's exactly the kind of thing that the Communist Party has been fighting towards. And maybe now's our chance.
Right.
Or not are the communists, but are the country.
Right. The long time, I guess, the catchphrase, if we want to call it that, of the Communist Party is people's needs over corporate greed. And I wanted to just ask you about coming at from a perspective of people don't necessarily like corporations. They don't like the people who run the corporations. They don't like the board and the CEO. But it does seem like we are all, in essence, programmed to come to the defense of the corporations out of the need, like just the need for a job. And if it's one of these quote unquote good middle class jobs that certain people in certain faces might talk about, it's that much harder for people to just unionize, like even unionize, right? Like it's people won't unionize because they're afraid they're going to lose a job, even in places like Walmart, where you're not sacrificing not. Much, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to convince people to rage against the machine because we're so dependent on the machine now.
Yeah. And, you know, it feeds into itself, basically, yeah. because the corporations only get stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But I think eventually, like, at some point, they can't keep making profit. They can't keep pulling resources. They can't keep exploiting people.
Mm.
But it's a hard sell to get people to realize that they have options, that they have to fight back.
Mm-hmm. Do you think corporations know they have, you know, limitations? Because I mean, we're still talking about a world where corporations see increased profits, meaning growth. And what you're talking about is that there's such a thing as finite growth. You can only grow so big because
yeah.
it's, you know, it's only the size of planet Earth, right?
Right.
It's, you know, it's almost like the corporations are deluding themselves too.
I think they have to. And where they're sitting, they're not seeing the effects as much as everybody down here, you know, in working world.
Mm.
So it seems they may see it coming, but they also, I think, want to get all they can out of it before it's gone.
Hmm. That's very nihilistic.
Yes.
I'm going to ask this of every candidate that comes in because I feel it's, you know, it's not just about parties. It's not just about politics. You know, when you're an MP, you're representing people no matter who they voted for. So looking at the last 4 years of Lloyd Longfield representing Guelph, what do you think is a good thing he's done in terms of his job performance? What makes him, what, you know, how would you characterize his tenure as Guelph's representative?
I haven't been really up on what he's done, but I've been to enough breakfasts to know that he's done a lot of hard work with Indigenous peoples, and whether or not I don't know how effective it's been,
right. But
he can only do what he can do. And I think that's someplace he's been working hard.
Mm.
Breakfast is very important in politics in this town.
Well, the one breakfast.
The breakfast club. They should expand. Yeah, they really should go to all points.
Yeah, make it 5 mornings a week. Maybe we can do it in front of a camera.
We need to get gym memberships right away. But
we can call
that's
it
a lot of eggs.
We can call it breakfast television.
Ooh.
Oh, wait, that's taken.
Yeah.
G-talk AM.
Shut up about the G-talk.
It's also kind of...
got to get it in every show. Anyway.
It's also weird that before the writ drop, there was another breakfast where all the candidates were invited.
Yes, there was, yeah.
At Hope House.
How did that go?
It was pretty great.
Did all the candidates go? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yes, most of them were there that had been sure they were going to be at that point. It was, there were some questions that they gathered from the community, and but there wasn't a lot of space to talk about those questions necessarily. But we did have some good talks. So basically the candidates would pick a table and sit and have breakfast and talk to the people at their table. So I really like the level playing field there.
Yeah. It was, it's nice because we often skip over people who are vulnerable because they don't have any money, they don't have any influence. And I think, I can't remember who it was who was at that and said that, you know, meeting over the breakfast table is a great equalizer, but it really was. It was a very interesting event.
Yeah. We did, I did take the questions home and go over them. And one of the ones that really stands out is, why do Indigenous peoples have to renew their status card every 4 years or something?
Never knew that.
Yeah.
And it makes zero sense except in the whole managing as part of the colonial relationship that Canada has with its Indigenous peoples. There's a level of managing that I guess that would be the only real reason to do it.
Right. It's not like renewing your license where it's a matter of like making sure you still have the skill. You know, you're not less Indigenous this year than you were 4 years ago.
Right. Unless they change the rules, which...
But there was a time where people lost status due to certain things. If they married, somebody else had a reserve.
I think so, yeah.
So maybe that's it. It's like we need an update.
Well, I mean, that's one of those things that's a holdover. Like the whole, you know, you can't donate blood if you're someone who is queer.
It's, right.
You know, it's something that's part of the olden way of looking at things.
Right.
We're running out of time, which is unfortunate because we really like to get into these talks, but I'm wondering, because I was, again, I was on the website last night, I was wondering to myself how many communist candidates there were, and there's a handful, about a dozen throughout Canada so far, at least on the website, but in a world where every communist candidate becomes a member of parliament and we get like a dozen, let's say, what can a dozen communist party MPs do in the House of Commons, do you think?
A dozen, I guess, do what we've always done. Try to work as best we can with the people we can work with.
Can you do that with, you know, the Liberal Party or the Conservative Party or the NDP or...
I would have to depend on what we were talking about.
Fair enough.
Definitely maybe, is that what that?
Definitely maybe.
Exactly, yeah.
So I was going to say there's been some changes at the top of the Communist Party in Canada, isn't that right?
Yes.
New federal leader, and we know the new Ontario provincial leader, actually.
Yes, we do.
Who is?
Drew Garvey, the famous Drew Garvey. Yeah.
Who has been on, well, versions of this show over the years, like way back in the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
And federal leader is?
Elizabeth Rowley, who once was the Ontario. Yeah. Dave McKee, who took over from Liz in the Ontario seat, is now taking over editing the People's Voice, our paper. So
Yes.
So Drew stepped up.
And your leader is coming to
tomorrow. Yes. Yeah, she will be.
I got
be...
the jump on you there.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping that she, because she was so quick with the website before, that she might see the chance to plug her event. But
yes.
I opened the window.
You opened the window.
Thank you for opening the window. Yes. She will be here tomorrow at 5:30 at 25 University Avenue East, which is... the Union Hall, they have a conference room that they can lend out in the basement. So that's where we'll be.
Mm-hmm. Just north of campus.
Right.
Do you want to talk about where people can find more information about you or the Communist Party?
There's a little bit of a blurb on the website, which is, again, votecommunist.com. But I'm around. I am at I've rearranged my schedule at the library to be at the Breezy Breakfast, which is Thursday mornings from 8 to 9. And next week is my slot as a candidate.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'll be there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tough crowd.
They're copying us, aren't they? Got that, Breezy? The rivalry's on.
Yeah.
Although they let us post our show on the website. So that's,
of course.
It's a friendly rivalry.
Next thing you know, they'll be talking about the Breezy bump, just like we have the open sources bump. But that's okay. There's room in Guelph for all of us.
Anyway,
Juanita, thank you so much for coming by. And we appreciate your time, and good luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so that was Juanita Burnett. She's the Communist Party candidate for Guelph this election. We are going to take a break to reset the places to scene one and invite our new guest in, and that is Gordon Truscott of the Christian Heritage Party. In the meantime, we're going to play some ads and some other things. You are listening to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio.
Well, Adam, tell us about that fabulous song that we just heard moments ago.
It's from Transformers the Movie, and it's by Stan Bush. It's called The Touch. And we played that on in credits before when the last time a Transformers movie came out, because it's probably the only thing memorable from any of the Transformers movies.
That was some fabulous rock and roll here on CFRU 93.3 FM.
And you were wondering before if like Stan Bush was like part of a band. He was. He was part of a band called Boulder.
Boulder, because it I got to say, and comparisons are a bit odious, but it reminded me of Journey. Like, he's got a really high range there.
I mean, Boulder was at its peak in, like, 78, 79.
Yeah, so it's the right period.
So, yeah.
It's a period piece. Excellent.
It's a period piece.
What year was Transformers the movie?
85 or 86.
Oh, so this is well before. Was it animated or live?
Yeah, no, it was animated.
It was animated. I don't know. I missed it.
It was, yeah, no.
I mean, it was a bit old for Transformers, but, like, you know.
Yeah, it was.
I knew what they were, but I didn't.
We were talking
watch
about
them.
This before the show, but it was. They released it after the first generation of Transformers toys, and the idea was that you were going to kill off all the Generation 1 Transformers so you can introduce the Generation 2 Transformers, and then you could sell those toys to the kids. So you get rid of Optimus Prime and you bring in Rodimus Prime.
That sounds so 80s.
I know.
That's like a very 80s thing. Like bad TV shows like Teddy Ruxpin and. How did we go from. Okay, here we go. A lot of the candidates this election are going to transform into something that they were not. And sometimes this transformation is overnight, it would seem. Are we going to go there?
That was a terrible segue.
I guess we can.
Segue.
And we should let people know as to why we are going to that place we're going to go today, because...
Well, unfortunately, it sounds like Gordon Truscott had a emergency that he was unable to get it to the studio, and we just got in touch with him during the musical break, which is why we had this sort of extra long musical interlude. So we're going to try and reschedule and have a rain date with Gordon in the next couple of weeks. Fortunately, we have a few slots left available. So just to run down again, we have Aisha Jahangir next week. The week after that, we'll have Mark Paralovas of the People's Party. Aisha Jahangir is NDP, Mark Paralovas is People's Party. That's on October 3rd. October 10th, we'll have Steve Dick of the Green Party. And then October 17th, we'll have Lloyd Longfield of the Liberal Party. I remain optimistic that we may be able to schedule the Conservative candidate. I'm not giving up. They'll have to throw me out of that campaign office.
We should let all the candidates know, and our listeners, that this is something that we do every election cycle, and we've been through a few of them, particularly on the show, but we did do it previously as well, or always aspired to, is give all of the candidates, well, in this case, generally it's worked out to a half an hour. And as far as we know, we didn't really talk about this, but I don't think there's anybody else really doing this anywhere, is there?
In Guelph, no.
Do you know of anybody anywhere? I mean, maybe podcasting somewhere. And you should mention the fact that you're going to
Or was that a surprise? Should we keep the surprise?
Keep the surprise.
We'll keep the surprise.
I haven't made it public yet because I'm still coordinating things.
I thought so by the look on your face. So I didn't say anything. But I just want to tell everybody that there is a political surprise coming from Adam in the very near future. So
yes.
Stay tuned. And, you know, we hope you always enjoy our election program. You can let us know if you have any potential questions that you would like to ask a candidate, any candidate that's coming in. We don't mind. So you can drop that by us via the channels we'll give you at the end of the show, as we do weekly.
Yep.
But yeah, so it's shaping up to be quite an interesting week, isn't it, Adam? Or day, or hour, or
it hasn't even
half
been 24 hours since it broke. It broke
yikes
really late last night, and you've probably heard already, but a picture emerged of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at a party in 1991 when he was a teacher at a private school in Vancouver.
There's a few pictures out there that
I was going to get there. I was laying it out.
Right.
I was laying it out like the award-eligible storyteller that I am.
The Vancouver party was 2001, though, right?
Well, he was at a teacher in Vancouver. It was at a private school he was teacher at.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's the now famous, worldwide famous, like within a couple hours famous, Aladdin photo was from 2001. It's from this century.
Oh, what? Yeah, you're right. Sorry. I was confusing the details for the dates. But yeah, no, in 2001, it was the Arabian Nights theme where he appeared in brown face as Aladdin. And then that was followed up rather in quick succession with pictures from him in his high school days in blackface. One performance where he was singing Deo as Harry Belafonte, which that song has now been ruined.
We were actually debating whether or not to play it. Sorry, I was. I don't want to draw Adam in this. I'm like, should we play Deo? No. We should not play it.
That's, yeah.
And last night, I saw it on the National, the emergency press conference on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was the second thing to come out. So, of course, everybody's immediately trying to find this. And lo and behold, like, he admitted to the 2001 Aladdin blackface. And then he said, when I was in high school. So he must have known. He must have known that this was coming out because, of course, first thing this morning, there's a yearbook photo of the Deo incident, I guess we'll call it. I don't know. But then.
The Deo incident.
Yeah, the Deo incident of 30 years ago. And it still counts. You know what? It still counts. So, but then the third incident, global news breaking this afternoon. I take it you saw that one too.
No, I haven't seen that because I've been busy doing stuff.
There's another unique instance of Justin Trudeau in a very blurry, grainy video that was, I think I saw it on Global, Mercedes.
Stevenson.
Yeah, I had coffee breaks. They're like, what? The feed just keeps going. Mercedes Stevenson presented this video that was, quote, given to them, who knows from where, but you could probably guess, a very brief snippet of Trudeau. It looks like it was spliced from a larger video. Definitely him when he had reams of hair. Looks like the 90s because I remember the 90s because Trudeau and I are the same age. Not just black face, but black arms and the holes in the knees, which are also now back, also blackened. So we have three unique instances of Trudeau in blackface that never came out when he was running for prime minister, that never came out when he was running for his seat in Quebec, that never came out when he was just sort of getting started.
And the initial report was from Time magazine, which is not a Canadian outlet. And I mean, that's the blackface stuff and the brownface stuff. I don't want to say it's like nothing, but I mean, it's definitely not nothing. But I mean,
he didn't kill anybody. But I know
it's surprising that, you know, rich prep school kid would have done something like this. Not necessarily.
No, because it was accepted. Get me wrong, and I'm making an excuse for
But. But what is surprising, as you said, is how nobody in the media released, at least in the Canadian media, threw out him being elected as MP, as a star MP in Papineau, running for Liberal leadership. And not just running for the Liberal leadership, but like it was always presumed he was going to chase Liberal leadership.
Trudeau Jr. The day of his dad's funeral, they said, will he make a great prime minister?
And then election year 2015, 4 years as prime minister, election year 2019, and then Time magazine gets the tip off. And then all of a sudden, Robert Fife has these things and Evan Solomon has something and Mercedes Stevenson has something. It's really...
That's a heck of a coincidence that they all come out within 12 hours.
Yeah, a heck of a
hours.
Coincidence. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know much about the Times story. I know they have a Canadian division like all major news outlets do, but I mean, Time magazine isn't something you really hear too much anymore because it doesn't exist in print, does it?
Or
does
it? No, it still prints.
Is it still printing?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the frequency, kind of like McLean's has changed. I thought, it's Life.
I'm pretty sure Time is still weekly. Was sold a couple of years ago and
part of some massive conglomerate thing, right?
Yeah.
Which is the way of the media that we aspire to not be. So,
so you get to listen to us for 20 minutes talking about
off the cuff because our person couldn't make it. But,
yeah.
But that's how we roll, right? So
that's how we roll.
So, of course,
today.
That news has, we don't normally cover the top story. We sort of strive to cover the not so top story. And we did have one in Guelph. And you want to talk about that?
Oh, right. On Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? Or no, it was Tuesday because I was in Toronto when it broke. Green Party candidate Steve Dick, as somebody dug up. Actually, somebody sent me the screenshot of it, too.
Oh.
But like I said, I was on my way to Toronto at the time and really didn't have any time.
Wi-Fi? Or no time?
Well, I had no time to chase it because I was, that Green Party candidate Steve Dick had been sharing 9/11 truther conspiracy theories as recently as 2015. He has apologized. And, I mean, that came the next day after Elizabeth May was in town and saying that the Greens have a real shot to win Guelph, which valid. But that has Oppo Hijab written all over it too, that somebody took a screenshot of that and kept that in their pocket. So it's, I mean, that we have the local example and then we have the big, huge national/international example that, this campaign is being fought on the ugliest of ugly stuff, and it's not really about issues. It's not really, Ed the Sock made this point. I know I'm quoting Ed the Sock, but we're not really talking about healthcare.
He's a card-carrying liberal, isn't he?
Probably. We're not talking about healthcare. We're not talking about the economy. We're not talking about equality. We're not talking about climate change. We're talking about who looks worse and who's the least worst evil to vote for. And I think that does nothing but turn people off and drives down voter turnout.
Yes, and welcome to the first probably 100% social media/internet election, because this is how it's going to go from now on. There's a tie-in between the two stories, our local story and then the giant story, in that when you put your name forward and you are a contender, then the combing begins. Somewhere there's a basement with people toiling away, and their job is okay. I'm sort of exaggerating a little bit. Yeah, there's the garret where they're sitting, going clickety clack.
They're in the gossip mine, mining gossip,
looking for absolutely anything. And of course, it starts with your social media and goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting to me in Trudeau's case, that everything that has surfaced is pre-internet everything. 2001, 1991, and whenever the heck that other thing was.
Mm-hmm.
It's all from an era. Where it wasn't just instantaneous and you found out, it's like, oh man, look at this. Because I think that's the difference now with something like this. Well, they'll go through your Facebook or Twitter or whatever and say, this person said this. And we're seeing it like there's major and minor and lots of major things daily where it's back in such and such a year, so-and-so said this, and it's usually something untoward or racist or, and I'm not naming any names, but you can just Google like Canadian election, you'll see all these things. So-and-so in this writing said this. There's so much out there. So, my suggestion would be to anybody who's going to run for office is like comb your wall, scrape the wall. Is that what they call it? I'm saying comb, but it's actually scrape. It's like, you need to go back in time and in doing that, it's like a teachable moment where you go through your stuff and you say, oh man, I really shouldn't have posted that. I shouldn't have put so many swears in that, or I shouldn't have. I'm not saying to cover your tracks. This is not my way of saying, go back and erase history. But when the history comes out, you have to own up for it. What did you think? Did you see the Trudeau apology on the plane?
Mm-hmm.
Has he? I'm working today. I didn't really see anything else. Did he say anything else today, or has he gone dark?
today. Oh, that's
no, I don't think he's gone.
Sorry,
dark.
That is a really, really bad. Has he gone under the radar today?
No, I think he's still been making the rounds. I haven't really been paying attention.
So
though,
the
either.
Schools and the wherever else but, he's going, and I was just wondering if there had been a scrum today, and I guess we won't find out until tonight's news, probably, or when we're off the air as to has this been addressed. And of course, you can bet it's the only question. It will be the only question. And I had a discussion with someone today, just, you know, brief political discussion at work. And they said if this was a candidate, they would be gone.
Absolutely.
If it was a candidate, they would be gone.
I think if he was just the leader of the Liberal Party and not the incumbent prime minister, he'd be gone.
Do you think there's a possibility, maybe however slight, that Trudeau will get smoked because of this before the election? I guess it's a possibility,
it's
right?
a possibility, but I don't know, because that's something I was thinking about this morning watching a panel on CTV News was like, you know, the thing they seem to be underestimating. And it was a panel of all like pundit, like
the
political
usual.
Hacks. It was an NDP, a conservative, and a liberal. And it's like, who cares? But every news cycle is about 33 minutes long now. And it's like, yeah, this probably has a bit of weight to it. But I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago when SNC came roaring back.
Wishing
when the integrity
for the good
commissioner
old days.
Came back. Yeah, when the integrity commissioner came back, and everyone's like, this is it. He sunk. They thought it was over. Now it's back. And
he should resign.
Yeah. the problem here is multifaceted. Number one is Andrew Scheer has no moral standing to go after Trudeau on this because he has problematic candidates in his back row. He was at a thing where he talked to Yellow Vesters earlier this year.
And Rebel Media.
He's got the guy who helped create Rebel Media running his campaign. Mm-hmm. So for him to like get off his plane and do the press conference, like talk about how awful this
it's
is.
Stern
it's like,
face. It's, I've never seen a stern face.
You know, cleaning up starts at home, Andrew. Sorry. Yep. I found Jagmeet Singh's message really, really compelling.
That was
really
heartfelt, wasn't it? That was from a place.
That was, yeah. And I think that's where having someone like Jagmeet Singh in the race really helps contextualize this. It's like, you know what? This is
is
me. You know, I know what it's like to be called every name in the book. I know what it's like to have people try and rip my turban off my head. And, you know, a lot of people were watching the news and seeing Justin Trudeau, who, is a hero to a lot of people as the prime minister. And to see what he used to do where he, you know, would take the identity of others in a mocking way. That really drove home, I think, what the issue of this is. And I think that was really powerful work by Jagmeet Singh. I don't mean work as like, you know, it was performance, but I think he hit the exact right note that moment needed. He didn't make it about Trudeau. He made it about the kid who was watching Trudeau mock someone of another culture.
Yes, because in some ways he didn't make it about himself. I was given a copy of his biography. People just give me political books. Surprise. Of all stripes, all sides, and
people give me grief.
I'll give you some political books, Adam. I promise. Anyway, I'm reading Nell Ayed's right now, actually, which is very good. But that's another story for another day. I'm gonna try and get her on. By the way, where was I going with that? Yes, and Singh's book is all about that. The majority of the book is about his life as a Sikh person in Canada and the various places that he lived and the treatment that he received.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also, I don't want to get too far into it, but he also was subject to abuse from a Taekwondo teacher or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he was saying those things last night, that is definitely coming from a very, very personal place. And it was like, I think it was almost universal today that he nailed it in terms of like what the feeling is, I guess, the feeling of Canadians, and I don't mean just Canadians in general, but Canadians, people of color, immigrants, and anybody who had ever been subjected to that kind of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty incredible. I mean, we've gone from, you know, business as usual to three, and it almost makes you wonder how much three separate incidents, and it makes you wonder what else is out there. It makes you question at least I've seen some traffic on, you know, question private school, wealthy person, behavioral standards are different.
Yeah.
St. Mike's. I mean, that may be a bit of a jump, but there is something to it when you're saying that there's this
this parallel system, the Bullingdon group in the UK, where this, you know, you're the son of the Lord or of the ex prime minister or whatever. You're on this channel that, you know, you're going to end up the golden boy. And that term has come up today, too, with golden boy, not so golden anymore. Right. Because his base, a massive part of the liberal base, the immigrant base, and the can I say the black and brown community? You know what I'm saying? Like, people would be deeply offended by this. Well, even though one of the pictures, the other pictures in the yearbook, he is with two Sikh men. And I was wondering whether that came out to sort of try and diminish it a bit. Say, well, it's okay because I've got two Sikh buddies here and they're both smiling. And you know, we don't know what they're thinking because it's a photo from 20 years ago.
But I mean, I have seen streeters and things on the news where people are like, what do you think of this? One of the, somebody was on the news last night walking around the streets going, look at this, what do you think?
I don't know what to think.
And there were people of color who were saying like, yeah, it looks bad, but it's not going to stop me from like voting for him. But so, I mean, it's there's multi-level reactions. And I've definitely also seen the people who are like, this is awful. This is sick. I don't like this.
Yeah.
If I could speak in defense of Trudeau, one of the things I will say is that I think his apology was genuine. I think he feels genuine shame about it.
Yeah, and that made Prime Minister say, I'm pissed off with myself. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was...
That seems to be coming from
that was off
place.
The cuff, for yeah, sure. Yeah. Whether that you can say that he's pissed off because he's now like crashed his chances for re-election into a wall.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do feel that there was some sincerity. People are like, well, why didn't he come out and admit this? And it's like, well, first of all, have you ever looked at your high school yearbook since the moment you got it?
Yeah.
And second of all, do you think it's possible he was afraid of this day? Again, whether that was hurting his woke rep that he's worked so hard to build or whether or not he actually genuinely feels shame about it, you know, however you want to see that. But, I think the shame is genuine. And also, when you're looking at other politicians whom this has happened to, and this has happened to, like, particularly Ralph Northam in Virginia, the governor of Virginia, who it came out had done blackface at one point, he, to my knowledge, he's never apologized for it. And that was, like, in February that broke. He's still governor of Virginia, by the way. Yeah. I mean, there hasn't been an election there, but he's still there, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it, at least on the national U.S. news. But he didn't apologize. And in fact, his strategy was like, okay,
things
it's me. No, it's not me. Maybe it's me. Maybe it isn't. But what are you going to do about it? And, you know, I know that Trudeau drives a lot of people nuts, but he did own it. He tried to make it a bit jokey, but I mean, he owned it. And I felt the apology was genuine and sincere. And it's like, I understand that we all have an understanding now that this is wrong, but when you factor in Trudeau's privilege and the time period and the bubble he was in, that didn't swim upstream, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't forgive it. That doesn't mean we should forget it. But there is context to that. That, you know, in that world, that wasn't seen as a bad thing. But that's why this should be a learning opportunity and not just about a punishing Trudeau opportunity. Because I think if he loses the election, you know, he'll just go into the private sector and he'll be on a couple of boards of directors and he'll never really have to face this ever again. However, if he wins and this becomes something he has to occasionally answer to for another 4 years, I think that's more of a fitting punishment, actually.
Yeah, so
that's a bit weird way to look at it, but I mean, you know, if your choice is like, if this has lost your vote for him, I don't think him being driven back into the private sector is going to make him pay a price.
Well, you're saying back in the, but was he ever in the private? He will be in the private sector, like all of them.
Yeah.
All of them of a certain
upper echelon. I'm saying the retirement plan.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to go back to drama teaching and definitely not at that school. although, you never know. Because, I mean, a lot of his income before he got to where he was on the speaking circuit, which I always found interesting. That he'd go places and talk and make 20 grand just talking about his life and being a Trudeau.
I'll talk for 20 bucks.
So if anyone wants to endorse us, we're going to go on the speaking circuit
And we're going to do that, and you're just going to hand us brown paper bags.
Are you having a lunch at your meeting? Just give us lunch.
Yeah, we're good with sandwiches, even a coffee, or just a nod.
No. And an acknowledgement. No, coffee isn't good enough. We have to have food.
Beers? Oh, food. Okay.
Food, yeah.
No, beer's unprofessional.
Food, or I don't show up.
Beers are for after, so.
Don't worry about the $20. Just lunch is fine.
Yeah, we'll work for lunch. Open sources. We will work for lunch. My goodness, what would we have talked about if all of this hadn't happened? I don't know, we probably would have found something, but...
Well, there's some stuff going on with Trump.
Well, yeah. Isn't there always something going on with Trump? This is like our...
That's the great thing about Trump.
He's our de facto default guy.
He's the gift that keeps on giving. To who? We don't know.
Well, to us. In some ways. In some bizarre way. He gives us the fuel.
I wouldn't mind forgetting Trump's president for a couple of days. He just has to keep reminding us.
Well, so every time we have a full slate of candidates in here, then we will, unless they bring it up. Mm. And it will come up inevitably because he's unavoidable.
Yeah, that's true.
Like open sources every Thursday.
This is fun. We just like to riff a
little. This is us. You've seen a brief window into like when the mics are off, this is all we do,
except with no swears.
Although we need to reinstate the burger tour, burgers 2020. That's
burgers 2020.
We could come up with a different thing to eat, but
I don't know what else would be like sort of
fries.
Yeah, and then if we're having fries, we might as well have burgers too. Anyway,
yeah.
That's it for this week. We hope you liked it. You can stay connected to us at our website, opensourcesguelph.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Open Sources Newswire or on Twitter at @OS_Guelph. If you'd like to listen to the show again, you can download it from our website every Monday or at the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or on your favorite podcast app at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Adam A. Donaldson, or you can go to my news and politics site, guelphpolitico.ca.
Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter, and I blog at spannerbook.wordpress.com.
And we will be back next week with another edition of Open Sources Guelph, and I will be with our special guest, Aisha Jahangir of the NDP. And until then, well, we will see you next time.